Do you remember when we were kids? The world was a very different place back then. Kids weren't nearly as protected as they are today, for better or worse. There was a constant threat of atom bomb attacks by the Russians, but we were prepared for those. We practiced safety drills at school to protect us from tornadoes and nuclear bombs. Each child crouched tightly under their four-legged desks, head between knees, arms and hands around the head and neck, as though this would stave off flying sheets of debris and radioactive particles. But these were the days before we had things that we referred to as terrorist acts. A harbor in Hawaii had been bombed, but that was during a war. A president was assassinated, as was his brother and a nonviolent civil rights leader, but those were inside jobs, singular events. Kids had nothing to fear, really, or so we thought. We were taught to speak when spoken to by an adult, even if the adult speaking was a stranger. A lot has changed over the years, some for better and some not so much, maybe. Do you remember summer? It wasn't as hot as it is now, or at least it didn't seem to be, and this is not a comment on global warming so much as a comment on the reality that most of us stay inside more and are not as acclimated to the temperature shifts as we used to be. Do you remember late spring and early summer? The grass was just raising its lime green tendrils toward the sun. The minute the temperatures began to rise over 70, off went the shoes. And that was a mixed bag indeed. Most of the grass felt soft and lush on the pads of the feet that were newly freed from the confines of socks and shoes. My dad, unfortunately, had a love of zoysia grass, spelled Z-O-Y-S-I-A, but pronounced zoysia. I detest that stuff to this day. Granted, it's lovely, not gangly or rangy or spindly. Zoysia is thick and looks lush. It's lovely to the eye, cloyingly so. As a matter of fact, a lawn full of zoysia grass just calls for a barefooted kid to come romp and play and roll. But zoysia is deceptive in its appearance. The adage, looks are deceiving, was most certainly coined by kids who fell prey to zoysia grass. One tiptoe in, and you know you made a mistake. The vision of thick loveliness is in reality a minefield of needles, especially to the newly freed tenderfoot. And do you remember getting your feet toughened up? Back then, the calluses we now pay good money to have shaved off by hardworking Vietnamese immigrants in nail salons were prized acquisitions. You had to work long and hard to casually stroll down the gravel road that led to the lake. Flinching and goose-stepping revealed that you are not one of the regulars. Without really giving it much thought, we came to be proud of the way our feet became tough as the summer wore on. There was something important about the change from those first few gingerly walked steps on the falsely alluring zoysia, or the downright menacing gravel road, and the toughness that developed where we didn't even notice if a sand burr lodged in our heel on the beach. And why am I going on about this walk down memory lane, you might wonder, other than the fact that I'm getting older and that's what older folks do? And the reason is because I think it's important to think about our connection with our environment, or lack thereof, our connection with our surroundings, or lack thereof. In our reading from Exodus today, we have what is known as the calling of Moses, the one of long litany of folks who are called by God, but not necessarily up to the task. Remember the story of Moses? The Hebrew people were being held in captivity in Egypt by the would-be deity and all-powerful leader, Pharaoh. The Hebrew people were working on a building campaign of Pharaoh day and night, enlarging and expanding the empire. But at the same time, the number of the Hebrew people was expanding. There was population growth among the Hebrew slaves, and this became a great concern to the Pharaoh. Seems that those in power are always concerned when the minority numbers grow. So Pharaoh decided to take population control matters into his own hands and have all the firstborn male Hebrew children killed. And here Moses comes into the story. Moses was one of those slated to be killed firstborn male children. His mother, not one to follow policies and procedures, determined to take her chances and placed her newborn son in a basket in the shallow reeds of the river, near the place where the royal family bathed. Pharaoh's daughter discovered the baby Moses, and he was in the bulrushes, and she took him home with her to Pharaoh's palace. And this act of defiance is worth noting. Pharaoh's daughter blatantly breaking her father's edict. That's no small thing. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's palace, and all was well until one day he saw one of Pharaoh's overseers mistreating one of the Hebrew slaves, and something snapped in Moses, and he killed that Egyptian overseer. And knowing that he had no chance of amending that situation, Moses ran away from Pharaoh's palace. He ran away from the household and the woman that he knew as his mother, from the life he knew in Pharaoh's compound, and from the people he knew were his people. Moses was able to stay in hiding for a while. He was allowed the break he needed. He tended the flocks, cared for sheep with little notice, until one day, as he was minding his own business, caring for the sheep, taking care of their dull routine, he looked aside and saw a bush that was burning but not burned to ashes, a bush that was ablaze but not consumed by the fire. And the burning bush got Moses' attention, and he stopped what he was doing. And when he did, the Lord spoke to him. And this was what the Lord said to Moses: "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place you are standing on is holy ground." And we don't really know if Moses did that, if he did as God commanded, but we assume that he did. And what God said was, "Take the sandals off your feet. Be tender-footed. Feel the earth beneath your feet. Do not put a barrier between yourself and the earth from which you've come." Moses began by being open. He stopped what he was doing and he noticed the bush that was burning. Moses intentionally paid attention to what was going on around him. And when he did, God spoke to him. And God said, "Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." And we understand that to mean that God was called into something that was sacred and different. And perhaps that is true, but perhaps that is also true for each of us. Perhaps what's true for Moses is true for each of us as well. Think on that for a minute. Remember the latter part of the Moses story, the burning bush experience and holy ground conversation with God. Remember that even after all of that, Moses tells God he's not a good candidate for the job that God has in mind, the job of freeing God's people. And finally, remember that God got God's way, and Moses did lead the people, and that that leading was not without problems. But God's people were freed, and Moses led the people to the promised land. The first thing that God asked of Moses was that he remove his sandals, take off the barrier that was between Moses and the earth, the barrier between Moses and the ground on which he walked. And this is the first step, literally. Take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. Those words sound so removed to us. We think that those words are not spoken to us. Those words were spoken to Moses, not me, not you. And yet I do think that each of those words are spoken to each of us. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And maybe we can believe that to be true when we're here in this beautiful, holy, worshipful space. But can we believe that we're standing on holy ground in our office, in our homes? Can we believe that every place in our lives we're standing on holy ground? And that God is there calling us to take off our shoes, to be tender-footed? God is asking us to remove that which is a barrier to our full engagement and our full experience in the world. What could happen if we took off or removed that which separates us from the world? What would happen if we took off our sandals, our shoes, our barriers? Remember those early days of summer? Those days where our feet were very tender. Every step was tentative and uncertain and maybe even painful. God says to Moses and to us, take off your shoes. Step out of your comfort zone. Allow yourself to be tender-footed. Remove your protection. Remove your barrier. Get into the world. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground.